Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 17th day of June 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, the folks from the Andersons will be along to take a look at the cash grain market. They're right here in Champaign County. Along the way today, we'll hear from Emerson Nafziger all about that yellow corn that may be already disappearing and why maybe you shouldn't run or attempt to put extra nitrogen on. It's probably just an oxygen deficiency. And then as we close out our program, we'll discuss the weather forecast with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
In Chicago for a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contract for the July soft red winter wheat today was a quarter of a cent lower at $6.80 and a half. December there at 7.01, down a half cent. The hard red in Kansas City in the July at $7.13 and three quarters, up 2 and a quarter cents. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, July futures at $6.68 and a half, a settlement price 13 and a half cents higher. September corn at $5.78 and three quarters, up 7, and December at $5.38 and a half, 5 and a half higher. March contract at $5.49 and a quarter, up 5 and a quarter. The May corn, $5.56 and three quarters for next year, up 5 and a quarter cents. July soybeans down 4 cents at $15.12 and a half. August at $14.35 and a quarter, a penny and a quarter higher. September down 8 and three quarters at $13.33 and three quarters. And November soybeans, the harvest month, $12.85 and a half, down 12 and three quarters. January futures at $12.91 and a quarter in the bean pit, down 12 and a half cents. Bean meal futures in the July at $4.49.10. That's $1.60 lower. And bean oil at $48.84, up 36 cents. Live cattle futures finished the August at $119.25, up 92 and a half cents. October at $122.67 and a half, 80 higher. September feeders at $147 were up 77 and a half cents. And October up 65 at $149 and a nickel. And the August lean hogs at $96.65. Finished a dime lower. The October futures were up 50 cents at $84.85 for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at WILLAG.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. July contract, $97.83 a barrel. That's 2 cents lower. RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $286 and two tenths, down 3 and four tenths. And ethanol futures today, $2.50 and three tenths of a cent, up 3 tenths of a cent. The difference between those two, or the spread, now 35 and nine tenths of a cent. That's 3 and seven tenths of a cent narrower than it was on Friday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.89 and two tenths of a cent, up 15 and nine tenths for the day. And the diesel fuel in the New York Harbor at $2.95 and four tenths is down 8 tenths of a cent. Gold futures at $1,383, $4.60 lower. And the U.S. dollar at 80.78. is up 0.11 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Isolated showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will all come after 3 o'clock this afternoon. Partly sunny otherwise, a high of 87 degrees. Tonight, isolated showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m. in the morning. Partly cloudy at a low of 65. West winds at 5 miles an hour. They'll become calm after midnight. Chance of precipitation set at 20%. And tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms after 1. Mostly sunny and a high of 81 degrees on a north wind at 3 to 7. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 58 on a northeast wind at 5 to 9. And Wednesday, sunny skies and 79 degrees on a northeast wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. Wednesday evening, mostly clear and 62. Thursday, sunny and 82. Thursday night, partly cloudy and 65. And Friday, mostly sunny and 87 degrees. Partly cloudy Friday evening with a low of 69, and Saturday sunny skies and 90 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast in the growing regions of the Midwest, the nation, and the planet at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the June 17 edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the trade throughout the day. We did finish with some green in the corn.
Yeah, corn was the highlight of the day. It, as we mentioned this morning here, started out lower and was able to find some strength through the day session here. And the July corn, particularly, when you look at it, this is the highest close we've seen in the July corn futures since the March 28th crop report. So it's gained back an incredible amount of ground after that report. We're back to some resistance, though, at this 675 area. See if we can scoot above it or not. It's mainly tight old crop supplies leading the way here, bull spreading. The spread between Dease, July and Dease corn, 130. It's been as wide as 150. Ideas as we go are that we go into deliveries that we'll continue to see this tightness stay around, and the spread could probably go out to the old highs, $1.50. July is probably where the fireworks are going to be as we go into the stocks report, into deliveries. As we go into July, I don't know if we'll see a so-called squeeze play or not, but old crop corn continues to be tight. It should hold its ground compared to the other commodities. Dease did a decent job, went down to some support areas, recorded a outside up, hook, reversal up, made a new low close, higher here. Trade's going to be fairly critical support here at this 525 area. I don't think we're going to run to $6 by all means, but it could give the market enough enthusiasm here to maybe run back to 5.5, 5.55, which would probably be a sell opportunity. The key is stay above today's lows. We go back below this 525 area, they're going to talk $5 fairly quickly, so the thing we need to watch is make sure corn holds these gains here and try to build a little momentum here. A lot of buying corn, selling beans, buying corn, selling wheat on the spread throughout the day. Beans held in there fairly well. Talk of maybe some Chinese cancellations, not only here but maybe out of the southern hemisphere. Chinese stock market a little on the defensive side, so beans had a little challenge today, but they held key support levels. Unwinding, rolling from the July into August, July down, August up a little bit. Fund traders want to get out of the July as we go into the delivery process. Then the wheat market, kind of tough. We're looking at ample supplies right now worldwide. Wheat harvest starting to take place. Yields are a little bit better than expected, so harvest pressure expected put a lid on things, but yet, too, there's some underlying demand in the wheat market. Ideas are to buy wheat and feed it until the corn gets in the delivery channels here this fall. So you've got the old seasonal prospects of trying to pick a bottom in the wheat pre-harvest or during harvest. So that wheat is down to some critical lows in here where should try to hold here and see the seasonal function of the wheat market to move higher once harvest is kind of wrapped up here.
We often talk about hedging and hedgers during the program for the Closing Market Report, but occasionally we pick up
day traders and traders, and you talk about those as well. And I think maybe that when you mentioned early on in this broadcast the delivery time frame and some opportunities that were there, you might have been hearkening back to things that happened in May and a couple of other expirations that offer some opportunities. Can you explain what those are?
Well, traditionally here, as we go into the delivery process, we see a lot of liquidation as the futures square away and avoid delivery process. But this particular case, particularly for corn, the tight old crop supplies we have in here, strong basis, strong demand, there's ideas that people could hold on to a long position a little longer than they have in the past, with the idea that it's going to be awful hard to see someone delivery or make a delivery of corn against a futures contract due to the fact that the cash market is higher than where the futures is. It would be more profitable to just stay in the cash versus, you know, making that delivery process. So the incentive is to buy back the short futures position and hang on to the cash, which locally is anywhere from 30 to 40 cents above for the board. And in some other cases, when you look at the Gulf or the Pacific Northwest, you know, you're talking much higher values. Now, the key is though, it's not for someone, you know, with some deep pockets. You could see some wide swings and quite a bit of risk in there, but with the tight old crop supplies, that's where quite a bit of the fireworks is going to be in this July corn futures contract as we go in the delivery process.
Let's turn your thoughts to the livestock market. Cattle futures have been trending down for quite some time. Is there a bottom in this market someplace?
Well, we kind of thought there was a bottom about $10 ago from last winter there, just looking at the raw fundamentals. Kind of a worst-case scenario, 117 supposedly would be a worst-case scenario in the cash market for say. The August and the June contracts are currently at 119. They've been as low as 118. When you go on out next winter, there's quite a bit of premium, 125, 126. So there's quite a bit of optimism price-wise as we move into this fall and this winter, a little bit of tighter situation, a little bit better demand. But the beef complex has just been suffering from outright demand, not only domestic, but the export side of it has also suffered here over the last two or three months. You know, until we see some expansion take place on these cattle on feed reports or cattle inventory reports, we expect some recovery in the beef sector as we move into next winter.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Thanks.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
In today's agricultural news, the American Petroleum Institute has made another attempt to convince the Obama administration to waive the renewable fuel standard and end E15. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen says it's another example of oil companies unnecessarily scaring people, as the RFS has created jobs, helped the U.S. economy, and saved consumers money at the pump, according to Dineen. He says API's conclusions are inaccurate because their assumptions are flawed. The study API refers to ignores the standard's flexibility to make it easier for refiners to meet their RFS obligation, according to Dineen. He says API is just misleading people and suggesting the RFS will increase gas prices. In other Washington news, the House may take up the farm bill debate this week. House GOP leader Eric Cantor announced the leadership plans to bring up the farm bill this week.
I also expect the House to consider H.R. 1947, the Federal Agricultural Reform and Risk Management Act. Chairman Frank Lucas, the members of the Agricultural Committee have all worked very hard to produce a five-year farm bill with strong reforms and look forward to a full debate on the floor.
Asked by Minority Whip Steny Hoyer if Democrats would have a chance to amend the bill's contentious food stamp cuts, Cantor promised a robust debate and open process. Cantor also told Hoyer, amid concerns the bill may lack the votes to pass, that the GOP's intention is to complete deliberation on the farm bill. More on the farm bill out of D.C. With the Senate passage of a five-year farm bill last week, all eyes are on the House this week. And House Speaker John Boehner says he's prepared to vote on a new farm bill, which is a positive outcome compared to last year when the House leadership decided not to bring the bill to the floor at all. House Ag Committee Chairman Frank Lucas has said the bill should only take 2 days of consideration in the chamber. And finally today, Beef It's What's for Dinner. The Beef Checkoff is relaunching its Beef It's What's for Dinner website with a more contemporary appearance, designed to respond to any multimedia platform to engage visitors like never before. The four main sections of the website are to be recipes, butcher counter, cooking, and health. Since the recipes section is most visited on the website, the new design includes enlarged beef photos and recipes as the first thing consumers see. You can find out for yourself at beefitswhatsfordinner.com. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Now up next, you know, corn farmers late last week were looking across fields in not great condition, and sometimes those plants weren't even green. I'll have a report with University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger. He says it's nothing too much to worry about.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The first and second week of June, farmers in Illinois started calling the state agronomist with concerns about their corn crop. It was either yellow or purple, says Emerson Nafziger at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. He also says it's most likely not much to worry about.
Actually, the dry weather and the sunshine we're having now probably will go a long ways towards fixing that. I hope fix it before people start to take action and based on what they think is the problem. We think the main problem with both purple and yellow corn is probably just root problems at this point. Since it was planted in many areas, it's been really wet, in some areas not as wet. But basically the wetter it has been, the more symptoms like this that we see.
It's not a problem Nafziger has seen in the east-central part of Illinois, but once you go west and north, things change rapidly.
Where people do see this, though, it can be kind of alarming. There are some pretty pale fields out there. In some cases, they even show, say, a knife track where you put nitrogen on earlier this spring. And if they put that on at an angle, then it's really clear where this is coming from. Typically, in the knife track, the corn is greener there. And people are wondering, well, have we lost a lot of the nitrogen? Do we go back and put more on?
The answer is a qualified no. There is some science-based reasoning here. University of Illinois nitrogen research plots in Pike County, or western Illinois, were fertilized with different rates of UAN the first week of April, planted to corn the first week of May, and sampled for nitrogen the first week of June.
And I was a little bit surprised. We put nitrogen rates on so we have an idea of what's there now compared to what we put on. And in every case, we rent rates from 60 pounds to 240 pounds. We found at least as much there as we had put on, and in some cases even more.
The natural mineralization of a soil can add to the measurable nitrogen. The Orr Center research site, says Nafziger, received about 17 inches of rainfall between the time the nitrogen was applied and the samples were pulled. The point is, the nitrogen hasn't moved out of the soil profile. The samples were taken to 2 feet deep. The purple and yellow corn is, says Nafziger, a reaction to the lack of oxygen available to the corn root system. As soils dry, the corn should turn green.
I think purpling is something we ought to just relax a little bit about. The good news about purple corn is that it means the corn plant has actually been working, producing sugars. And when the sugars don't have enough place to go, it kind of turns the plant purple. It makes a pigment that the plant then shows this purple color. Some hybrids almost never show any purpling. That's just a genetic biochemical thing. The truth is we don't think that purpling ever actually hurts a crop. And the other truth is that purpling almost always goes away on its own. and there's no reason to really do anything about it. People often relate purpling to some kind of phosphorus deficiency. Phosphorus deficiency actually will make the plant turn purple because phosphorus helps the sugars get away out of the leaves, and if you don't have very much phosphorus, the sugars build up. But very few in cases like this, when we see it earlier in the season, it's almost always related to the fact that something about the plant means that the sugars don't have any place to go. And when the root systems have been standing in water, that's a good prime suspect. They're not taking in the sugars that they normally would, both to grow and to work. And so we see the purple color resulting.
Patience. It takes some time, says Emerson Nafziger, for the recovery to happen. A 4 to 5 leaf corn plant in soils that are drying out could turn green within a couple of days. Nafziger says it is by no means clear a farmer should try to fix the purple problem. It should just go away on its own. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, it is a Monday afternoon. This is the closing market report. Let's check now the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Greg Johnson is on the phone line. Sunshine, a little warm, some drying out, and all those yellow corn stalks out there. Plants probably turned green over the weekend, is my guess.
Well, a lot of them did, along that I-80 corridor especially, but there still are some areas that are still plenty wet, but I think in general you'd have to say that the crop improved from a week ago.
And would that be what you're expecting this afternoon from USDA?
Well, Illinois was only in the 50s as far as good to excellent ratings last week, so I would think we should be in the, you know, should be in the low 60s, which is where we should be this time of year. So we're, you know, starting a little bit lower than where we normally do, but hopefully the arrow was pointed up.
And if it points up, does that mean the market will point down?
Well, December corn, probably, yeah. You know, we're in that 540 range, 538 on December corn, and we got down to 512 at one point. We got up to 575 not too long ago. So that 540 area is kind of right in the middle. I call it no man's land. You know, if we go 15, 20 cents lower, you know, then it's probably oversold. But if we go 15, 20 cents higher, it's probably overbought until we know a little bit more about pollination weather in July. So I think we're at a fair price, actually, right now for corn. It just kind of depends on where farmers are. If they have very little sold, selling in the middle of the range isn't a bad place to be. But if you've got some sold, I don't know that you necessarily need to add to those sales at these levels.
This historically is at a time of year when the new crop is in the lead. But really, it's a tale of two different crops at this point, with old crop and new crop potentially poised to go in different directions, I would guess.
Yes. Old crop corn, we've seen it here in central Illinois for quite some time, that there's just very little left, and we keep waiting for basis levels to improve and old crop to gain on new crop. And, you know, for months, it just didn't seem like that wanted to work very well. But I think finally it is starting to work. We're starting to see that old crop gain on the new crop on the futures market, and we are starting to see basis levels pick up as well.
And speaking of basis, what are your bids for the day?
All right. Old crop corn is $7.09. New corn, $5.25. Old crop beans are $15.47. New beans, $12.68. And wheat is $6.65.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joined us on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about the weather forecast with the folks up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's Cow Appreciation Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1850, the refrigerated ice-making machine was first demonstrated by Dr. John Gorey, who eventually received a patent for the machine on May 6th of 1851. In 1857, Frederick Louis Maytag was born. An American industrialist, Maytag was one of the founders of a farm implement company in Newton, Iowa. They made threshing machines, band cutters, and self-feeder attachments. In 1907, the company began producing the Maytag washing machine to make up for the seasonal nature of the farm equipment business. The first machine, the Parsons Pastime, featured a hand-powered wood tub. In 1868, the first patent for a spring tape measure was issued to Alvin J. Fellows of New Haven, Connecticut. The tape measure was enclosed in a circular case with a spring click lock to hold the tape at any desired point. In 1943, George Washington Carver was honored with a national monument near his childhood home near Diamond Grove, Missouri. Carver was a prolific agricultural researcher, instructor, and chemical investigator. And in 1986, Raymond Lowry died, an American design engineer. He is known as the father of streamlining. Famous examples of his designs include the 1947 Studebaker Starlight Coupe and the Coca-Cola bottle. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This is the closing market report for Monday afternoon, 17th day of June. Mark Russo from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, is on the phone line with us to take a look at the weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, what's the sights like from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building today?
Well, fair and sunny here across the greater Chicagoland here. Dry day as well as much of the Midwest. Exception as far southern Illinois has seen some scattered thunderstorm development, but a generally open day of weather here for the Midwest.
I thought there was supposed to be a bit more rainfall than it appears we have received over the weekend, or looks like we'll receive in the next couple of days. What happened to it?
Well, most of the rain fell primarily across the western belt areas of Iowa, Missouri, and then even more so into the plains. Kansas, Oklahoma picked up more significant rainfall, but because a lot of that convective activity or thunderstorm activity occurred there, that kind of robbed some moisture from the Midwest, and as a result, received at least more scattered activity, especially in places such as northern central Illinois and Indiana. And Ohio. From a forecast standpoint here, coming up for the next few days, it continues to be fair and dry here across the Midwest, and the next chance of any significant precipitation returning here looks to be coming up during the latter part of this week. And that looks to be the pattern, by and large, over the next couple weeks. Some rain activity here and there. No area looks to receive just inundating rains. And overall, it's kind of a seasonal pattern, both from a rainfall and from a precipitation standpoint. Looks like through the back half of June.
It sounds like a fairly nice pattern for the month of June, and one that'll be good for the growing season.
That's certainly the case here, and especially, I guess, not quite ideal. You like to see at least some hotter temperatures to help accelerate crop growth, but by and large, very, very good.
Any place around the planet you've been watching in particular other than here in the Midwest?
Yeah, beginning to watch northeastern China, Manchuria. Their corn and soybean acreage has trended a bit drier in recent weeks and will remain on the dry side over the next 10 days. There is an opportunity for rain at the end of the month, and the focus of attention here is on that rain opportunity and making sure that they get rains here to eliminate this growing 30-day precip deficit.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us on the closing market report right here on this Monday afternoon. Hey, just 1 week from today, I will be in Bloomington Normal, I believe at the Marriott, along with the Illinois Tax School folks for their June 24th program. That particular program is open to you. It's all about passing down the family farm, and you can find all the information information on their website. Just search Google for Illinois Tax School and then put in Family Farm Legacy, or you can look over on the left-hand side of the page once you get to the Illinois Tax School website. And a way to register, it's just $40, sponsored by Farm Credit from right here in Champaign-Urbana-Mahomet area. And we're looking forward to seeing you next week. It should be a great event. Be sure to get registered today. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.